Washington State wants to get employees out of their cars. The state requires all its agencies run programs to encourage alternative transportation. Well, Keith Edgerton is an evangelist for those programs. His job is to convince colleagues to give alternatives a try. Keith has changed the way he commutes, but he told KUOW's Marcy Silman it wasn't because of traffic or global warming.
It was a routine eye appointment in Portland, and they do all these different tests, and one of them is this visual field test. I don't know if you're familiar with what that looks like, but you put your head in this big white bowl, and they give you a clicker, and they test each eye at a time. And I got done that test, and I finished my wrap-up with my doctor, and that's when he informed me that I had crossed the threshold of becoming legally blind. And it wasn't something that I really thought of a milestone happening. I was 35 and I still felt like a competent driver, even though I didn't drive at night and I had a pretty limited driving route. And he had actually noted that if I had lived in Oregon, I wouldn't have been able to drive 15 years prior because of my visual field.
So when the doctor said, okay, Keith, this is it, you are now legally blind, what did that mean for you as a driver and how you would get to work, for example?
It was the first time in my life that I had no idea. I live 12 miles from work. I had a company truck and a gas card. I was a project manager for a commercial construction company that did work all over Western Washington. I really did not know how a person could live in America and be a professional and an active parent and not drive.
How did you get over that?
It took some time. It was so devastating. You have to understand that I was a person who always knew how my life was going to work out. And I just literally could not picture how it was going to work. And so I envisioned this one life of literally being like on the fetal position on the couch feeling sorry for myself, or a person who was going to try and figure this out. And probably the best example I could give you of how that unfolded was a family vacation where I would take my daughters up to the San Juan Islands. It used to be a drive to Anacortes and a ferry.
Sure.
And you took your car on the ferry, of course. And we took taxi cabs, trains, several public transit buses. We took rides from our friends. We took the Victoria Clipper. Yes, it took certainly much longer to get there. But we got all these amazing memories of the people we met, whether it was Santa Claus, the bus driver, or the dogs that people would bring on the buses, or the friends I still have on Facebook that we met on the Victoria Clipper. I pointed out to them is like, if we just climbed into our car and locked the doors, all of these events would have never happened.
Keith Edgerton is transportation coordinator for Providence St. Peter Hospital. Keith, you have a lot of passion about the alternatives that you've chosen, the adventures that you've found outside of that single occupancy car of yours. Why did you decide that you wanted to help people, and some of these people aren't blind, with commuting?
I have learned just through my daily existence on this planet the joys of not being a single car driver. And it's great to share the benefits with people.
So how do you go about convincing some of these folks that they should get out of their single occupancy vehicle, their car, and try something else, anything else? Where do you start?
I tackle it from many fronts. First off, you're going to save money. Secondly, I think there is a potential to reduce stress of the commute. If you're not driving, you have more me time, is what I call it. You can surf the web, read a book, you can make phone calls. And then I think if you're looking at biking or walking or rollerblading, it could be a way to incorporate a healthy lifestyle into something that you have to do already.
We're sitting in Seattle's University District. About a block and a half from us, we see one of the manifestations of of light rail that's being built. There is some investment in mass transit. What else should the state of Washington do to make alternative commutes less scary, less onerous?
I've spent some time thinking about this, and the infrastructure for people to feel safe is paramount. The other one that I just learned about, and InterCity Transit in Olympia does, they will ride with you for the first time of riding the bus. They will literally meet you at your bus stop, show you how to put the money in the machine and when to pull the chain and how to know when to get off the bus. And I always get people chuckling at that. But the reality is most people haven't ridden a bus since high school or maybe never. And I remember how intimidating it was, how I didn't want to embarrass myself because I was doing something wrong.
When you first went blind, you said that it was one of the hardest things of your life. You said you sat in that truck and cried. But now I've heard that you say it's one of the best things that's happened to you, one of the best things in your life. What do you mean by that?
I've had to reconstruct what I consider a great life. And what I've realized through these processes of losing vision and having to adapt to how I get around and how I go on vacation and how I work is it's not worse and it's not better. It's different. There's still a high quality of living that I experience just like I did while I was driving. It's just there's a richness that I feel like I have in my life now, and it can just be the little things. It's not like, oh, I just went to Europe. That was great. Of course that's great. But it can be just looking at the water in my front yard at night when I take the garbage up and appreciating the beauty that I can see.
Keith Edgerton, Transportation Coordinator for Providence Health of Southwest Washington, speaking with KUOW's Marcy Silman.